Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It's now time for Inside Matters, spiritual talk, healing done right, spiritual growth, 12-step indigo meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jules.
Happy Labor Day, everyone. It's Labor Day. Well, tomorrow's Labor Day, but we're going to celebrate it today on Inside Matters. We're going to talk about some good hot stuff today. So we're going to bring in Labor Day right. This is Duchess on Inside Matters Talk, and I got a co-host out there somewhere. Hello.
Hi, it's me. It's Jules. How is everybody? How is everybody's Labor Day in North Carolina? It rained and now it's hot. I mean, it's hot. You can see the steam coming off the ground. It's so hot. I got a baby over there in the playpen. She doesn't even want to wake up. It's so hot. So that's me, and that's how I'm doing today.
Well, I've had an interesting week. I went to a meetup. A spiritual meetup that I wasn't even supposed to be to because it's not until next Saturday, and so I had a huge faux pas. But the lady whose house it's held in, she invited me in, and we sat there, and we had a nice little talk about things. And then I went off to a Labor Day cookout, and that was a great thing, hanging out with people that I work with on a social basis rather than a work basis. So I want to thank our Creator for blessing us with another day, another Sunday on Inside Matters Talk. Everyone should know by now that we have scheduled down to the first and the third Sunday of the month. That gives Jules and I enough time to plan out the next show and to hang out and be out and about with folks so that they can know about us, and we can bring the energy back to you. I had another interesting experience yesterday. One of our callers, Jules, from the Animal Medicine Show, one of our callers, Akasha Baird, she called in. She has a show on Blog Talk Radio, and she has it every Saturday at 12 noon. And so I called into her show, and it was really fascinating talking to her because she channels, and she was able to channel a message to me. So those of you who are interested in channeling and want to share some energy with Akasha Baird, you can find her on Blog Talk Radio also. And that's basically what I have. Separate and apart from topic, you want to go ahead with topic two? It's going to be an interesting one.
Basically, I heard that our topic is about forgiveness, and that's something that I have a very hard thing to cope with. I mean, even though you're spiritual and you walk a spiritual path, doesn't mean that you are all forgiving and feel that, you know, everything is supposed to be forgiven. So that's our topic today. And I had a nice talk with my mother last night, and she showed me the way, a different way of forgiveness where I can understand it. I mean, I know a lot of people out there have had things happen to them. And she let me know just because you forgive doesn't mean you have to forget, but it does allow you to move on with your life. Because if you look back at the person that you don't forgive, they have moved on with theirs. And that's what makes us so mad, because they are just, as you see it, they have moved on with their life. They're not thinking about you no more, but that's how you feel. You don't know what's going on in their life. So we're going to talk about forgiveness. Go ahead, Duchess, because I just go on.
Well, it's good that you go on, because Forgiveness is a big thing. Some people have had horrific things happen to them. And what are you saying? I have to forgive these people for what they did to me? I mean, you know, every single one of us on this planet suffers in some way. And it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, male or female, white, black or purple. We all have painful issues we have to live through. It is part of life, and life on this planet, I don't know about other planets in existence, and they have, you know, people live on other planets, but it's a part of this planet, and suffering can happen in many ways. I mean, it can be in the form of abuse. What about abuse, physical or mental? People cheating on us, loved ones dying on us, parents not loving us enough, car accidents, or even losing our jobs. It doesn't matter what it is. Suffering is whatever causes us great emotional upheaval, and we all have to go through it. All of us have to go through it. The difference is how we deal with our suffering. Are we able to move on to emotional healing? We can deal with our pain. We can deal with our pain, or we can let it slowly fester and destroy us. So I remember telling someone was saying to me, well, you know, I was God's gift to them, and I was a blessing to them, and they abused me, and they did this to me, and I'm very upset about it. Well, I had to say to this person that, if you were a gift sent to someone by God or whoever or whatever, you were the gift, and you were sent there, then don't you think the person is supposed to thank the gift giver? You don't necessarily get to thank you. Once sent in as the gift, and we do what we were sent in to do, then our job is done. It would be nice to get a thank you. And not many people thank the gift. Their thank you goes to the gift giver. When our role as the gift is over, there is no need for the relationship to continue. And so, and that's where a lot of pain comes in, because we feel like we were used and abused, and we were there when somebody needed us, and now they don't need us anymore. And I mean, I've been guilty of this too. Now they don't need us anymore, so they go on about their way and just blow us off. Well, we were the gift sent to them for them to go on about their way. Now, if we want to fester in that and looking at it that way, then we'll never be open to receive our blessings from the gift giver as a result of us doing what we were sent in to do. Can you see that, Jules?
I can see that. I can see that wholeheartedly, because it's like here you are thinking that you know what your gift is supposed to be. You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm supposed to get this and this and this. But if you're looking for your blessing can be something that you don't even recognize as your blessing, and then you miss the blessing because that's not what you was looking for. You're looking for something else. So you have received blessings here and blessings there, and you're just so mad because you expected your blessing to be a certain way, and God has already granted you your blessings tenfold, and you're not even acknowledging them. So
Well, you were expecting your thank you and your blessing to come from the person that you were the gift given to.
That is true.
You know, and so you are really bent out of shape because they didn't show you any appreciation for you having been there. Well, sometimes it's not up to them to show us the appreciation. As a matter of fact, sometimes they're supposed to not show us appreciation so that we can realize that our gift giving is over and it's time for us to get up and go on another level of our evolutionary journey. So Let's talk about forgiveness. Okay. Doreen Virtue says that forgiveness, when we forgive, this could be one person. You can forgive one person, or it could be many. It could even be God that you're looking, you know, to forgive, because maybe you feel bitter because God took something away from you that you felt that God had the right to give you or to leave with you. It's whoever you feel has caused you great pain. You can forgive them by writing a letter to them. You can say something like, I forgive you for blank, blah, 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 all of whatever they did and so on and so forth. This is an emotional turmoil, distress, and anguish. And you can be completely honest. Be completely honest as you can. Write it all down. You are not going to send this as a letter out there. No one is going to see it. Nobody's going to see it but you. Or here's one that came to me this morning, and I was able to forgive a lot of people with this, and I'm going to blank it out for you. And basically what I said was, I forgive blank and thank them for the blessing I received from my higher power as a result of their actions towards me. Now, let's say, for instance, a while ago, I was in a relationship, long time ago, I was in a relationship, and I felt harsh and horrible and bitter towards the person as a result of the relationship coming to a close. Now, if the relationship hadn't come to a close, I would not have been forced to maybe move to South Carolina, then move to Leesburg, Virginia, and wind up working at the job that I work at with the phenomenal benefits that I have. I would not have or might not have been able to have benefits to partake of the two huge major surgeries that I have had since the relationship broke up and I moved away and got into a place where I have phenomenal benefits. And I had two life-saving surgeries. I might have been dead if I had stayed in that relationship. So, in that vein, I forgive that person and thank them for the blessing I received from my higher power as a result of their actions towards me. Because had it not been their actions towards me, I may not have received the blessing of my life being saved from two huge major surgeries. How does that one sound, Jules?
I like that one. I really, really, really like that one.
So, you see, sometimes we need to be kicked to the curb so we can go on and get what we need in life. And, of course, it's painful, but if it wasn't painful, we would have stayed. It had to have become painful for us to move on and grow. And it's not something that we really, really want to embrace and accept, but it could be our growth spurt. So back to this forgiveness thing. Blame is for victims, and it makes you powerless. So when you're honest with yourself about the forgiveness and you stop being in the blame mode, remember, this is a letter that you're going to write or a statement that you're going to write of forgiveness and not blame. You know, you're not going to say, you know, I forgive you because,
but,
you know, you did this. Yeah,
you
I forgive
can't use
you,
the
but. Yeah, that's the word.
Don't
I
use
forgive
the
you, but. Or I'm sorry, but. You know,
right.
So it's like you're still putting the blame on that individual or that institution or that person, place, or thing. You are in control of your ability to forgive. Because, you see, as long as you're blaming that other person, place, or thing, you're giving them the power over having an effect on you. But when you can forgive them, you own the power. Because when you say, I forgive you, That is a powerful statement that you're extending to them. When you have done that, it is time to forgive one more person, and that is yourself. The other person is yourself, and at the time of the event, you did the best you could. Forgive yourself for letting it happen, or for not doing something, or for doing something. Whatever happened, forgive yourself. You cannot change the past. You could only become stronger from it. Forgiveness is important.
And that
because
is
it signifies
one.
What you say?
That is hard. I mean, forgiveness is hard, but to forgive yourself, and you said, and for letting it happen, or, you know, the different things that you have said, that is hard. To say that, you know, you taking responsibility for what had happened to you, now you're talking about some hardships right there. That's
hard. I know. And one of the hardest ones I'm going to use as an example right now, I'm going to have a whole lot of phone calls on this one. Okay, let's say rape. In that same area of what we were speaking about, when you say forgive yourself for letting it happen, for not doing something, for doing something, whatever happened, forgive yourself. Okay, so when we say forgive ourselves, because a lot of people, when they're faced with a situation like that, in their mind, they may say, why didn't I do more? Well, forgive yourself because you didn't do more, because you may not have been able to do more. And I'm not taking calls right now, Jewel. Forgive yourself.
It's okay.
For not doing more, okay? Because we all have a choice. And at the very moment, there is the perpetrator and there is the victim. We can either choose at that moment to submit and save our very darn lives, okay, come out of it and continue to allow ourselves to be a victim or a survivor. Or we could have had the choice to fight and possibly die. So whatever choice we made, we must forgive ourselves for the choice that we made, because we'll walk around feeling guilty forever, thinking, could I have done more than what I did, or if I had just did this, or if I had... No, you made a choice, and the choice that you made was neither bad nor good. It was the choice. Now, where you go forward in that choice that you have made, that's another story. Are you going to forever be a victim as a result of the choice of something that happened to you? Or are you going to be a survivor and go on and talk to other people and hopefully be an example to others who may fall into the same situation? So forgiveness is important because it signifies a mental shift from being a victim to being the master of your life, to have complete control over your destiny. You make the decision to forgive the person. You make the decision you are going to move on with your life. You are now taking action instead of simply reacting. You are in the process of taking back your power. You become the master of your thoughts and your life. And before we go on to the next half of this forgiveness thing, which is working at letting it go, because I can say I forgive you, but that doesn't mean that I let it go. It ruminates and it's still in the back of my head. So before we go into letting it go, let's take a call, a very short call on what we have already said.
Okay. I'm going to take a call from 703, and here we go. Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Okay.
Hi, 703. Can you tell me your name and where you're from? 703, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know which 703 you meant. This is Sonny Weiss, and I just wanted to mention about the, you know, some people misconstrue, as Yolanda has said, what forgiveness means. And forgiveness simply means to let go of anger and feelings of resentment and anger. It does not mean that you condone what has happened. And in the case of rape, as she mentioned, you're not condoning somebody's behavior
right.
from what they did. That doesn't make it right, but what you're doing is releasing your own attachment to that situation, because as soon as you, as long as you stay angry at someone, you are keeping up a connection. You are giving energy still to that past, and it's totally useless. You know, I think we have to come down to the point of deciding what is useful to us. You know, what benefit do we get by continuing to be angry at something that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago or last week? I am a rape victim, as probably 75% of the women and 50% of the men, now they're speaking up out there. It's simply
right.
letting go of that energy. It does not have anything to do with condoning the act itself. My two cents.
Absolutely. Thank you, Sony. Thank you. You clarified that very well. Very, very well. No, we don't condone the action.
Okay.
Sony, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm here.
Okay.
I'm not sure how this works. This is the first time I've ever called in.
I'm sorry. I had to leave you guys for a little bit, but I understand exactly what you are saying, and I really appreciate what you have said, because when we talk about rape, that's something that I'm having a hard time letting go. But every time I talk to Duchess about this situation, I slowly let it go, because if I don't let it go, it filters in my dreams, you know, and you can't control your dreams, you can't control the action, you know, you see the happy family and stuff like that. So I'm learning, and this is a great situation, a great thing to talk about forgiveness on, and like she said, we're going to probably have a lot of callers on this, but thank you for your input. I really appreciate about not condoning what they did, and I think that you said it very well.
Well, you know, you realize if you've been an abused person of any sort, I was about 65 years old when I figured this one out, as long as you allow yourself to stay attached to that situation, you are allowing that individual to continue to control you. And a very
Absolutely.
Fine woman told me that years ago, and it was like a big duh. You know, why should I give? Why should I allow somebody to continue to rape me every time I think about that? You may not have been able to do anything about the first time it happened, because you did whatever you did because you thought you were to survive the situation. But you do have a choice if you want to allow that to happen again and again and again.
Right. Absolutely. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sony. Thank you very much. Are there any other callers on the line?
I'm going to let you go. Thank you. Okay. You're back on the air, Duchess. Go ahead.
Okay.
Is she from Virginia?
Did you cut off a mic or did you let her go? Yes, she's from Virginia, and Sony is with the Lighthouse. I went to by mistake yesterday. great. They have a psychic fair, or they have practitioners that go to her home on the first Saturday of the month, and you can sit and talk with them and learn more, or you can have a reading, or they have a medium there. They have a woman who sells crystals. They're getting ready to start up some classes and courses there that should be wonderful over the fall. They're going to be doing a introduction to your psychic abilities, and they're going to have a crystal class there, and so she's doing some wonderful things here in Virginia. Thank you again, Sonia.
Wow, that's wonderful.
So we go to the second half of this big step in our lives of forgiveness, and the second half of it is letting go. This can be harder than forgiveness. It can be quite easy to say I forgive you, but still continue to hold on to the hurt or attachment to the crime and what you feel has been done to you. Unless we forgive someone, usually we are blaming or acknowledging that a wrong has been committed against us by that person. The problem comes when we secretly hold on to that crime. True forgiveness is about no longer holding on to or focusing on the action that got us so upset in the beginning. It's about moving on and completely becoming detached from the event. We can never truly feel the joy of today as long as we're continuing to process or make sense of a past event. And that's what Sony said. As long as we are having that ruminating that information in our head, we are reliving the moment over and over again. And that person has control over us. There's a book written by Lynn Grabhorn, and the book is Excuse Me, Your Life is Waiting. And she says, rather than denying or suffering your past, go ahead and look at it, but without judgment. Look at it, express it, admit it, acknowledge it, accept it, and move on. In other words, let your past become something that is simply a matter of fact, and that's all. Express your disappointment, your regret, your anger, and then let it go. If you don't, you will continue to draw to you the very events that you are still resenting or regretting. So, letting go also means letting go of the anger. A lot of times we are so filled with anger against the personal event, but feel that we are helpless to do anything about it. When this happens, the anger can turn inward and we become very self-destructive. A lot of times we beat up on ourselves as a result of the anger that we're feeling towards something else. Self-destruction can take any number of forms, as we seem to be very inventive when it comes to hurting ourselves. Eating disorders. Either we eat too much, or we make ourselves not eat enough. We become bulimic, okay? Or any other of the eating disorders. Then there's the addictions to drugs and alcohol. I mean, we call it, you know, like I'm drinking at that person, or I'm drinking at that thing, or I'm numbing myself against that, or because I keep thinking about it, I gotta
do it. You like that one? They're
absolutely
making me do it. I am so mad they're making me just drink this alcohol, or, you know, pop this pill. I'm doing it because of them. You know, that's another one. They're making me do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't take the blame.
We continuously find ourselves in bad relationships, and it's always the other their fault. It's false. It's my job, so I drink because of the job. Oh my God. Ooh. I mean, I gotta, when I go home, I gotta drink. I mean, those people out there, or those people that I have to work with, I mean, it's their fault that I have to drink like this, you know? I mean, you drink at the crime, or you self-mutilate, or you go into crime. You know, I saw on Oprah that a lot of our young women who are promiscuous today, they were saying that that's a form of self-mutilation. We think of self-mutilation as cutters, people who cut themselves. But they say that they're saying that promiscuity is a form of self-mutilation, that insertion, you know, that just letting yourself go, not being able to keep a job, and it's because of all this stuff that happened to me, or being constantly accident prone, and on and on and on. And, you know, in some of our cases, let's say me, I was told by, I believe I read a book with Caroline Meese, and it talked about your physical ailments, you know, connected to your spiritual well-being or not. And I've had a number of surgeries in my solar plexus area, and that's around the navel area and that around that section. And that area is representative of abandonment, betrayal. And if I continue to hold on, or if I continue to hold on to feeling like I've been betrayed and those kinds of things and not letting it go, who knows how many more surgeries I might, you know, have to face. So we really want to fix that, Duchess, in a hurry. You know, if you don't need any more surgeries.
Right.
So, we do these things to ourselves, whether we do them consciously or unconsciously, subconsciously. Our mind is a powerful energy to contend with. And each of us finds a different way to take out our anger on ourselves. You have the power to let it go. You no longer need it. And there are a lot of illnesses out there. Illnesses that are, people's bodies are riddled with all kinds of diseases and illnesses, but it's a result of their mental discontent, their bitterness, their anger, because it's embedded, it's ingrained, and they don't realize that they are killing themselves by holding on to stuff. It is important to understand that forgiveness and letting go won't happen overnight. Sometimes it's years of having the hurt and anger bottled up inside. It can take a while to develop the willingness to let those emotions go or to allow other positive feelings to take their place. You just need to take the first step to allow real healing to take place, even if it means going to therapy, if it means doing some spiritual work, whatever it takes. Go to recovery groups. I'm sure there are so many recovery groups out there for just about anything that you could have been. Support groups. They're good, so that you know that you are not by yourself in releasing and letting go.
Yeah.
But like I said, go ahead. You want to say
something? I was getting ready. No, I'm agreeing with what you're saying. I was thinking the same thing about going to recovery groups and stuff like that, or even going online and getting some support groups. A lot of people out there really, you know, don't have, or they always say they don't have the time for that stuff, or they, you know, in this day and age, a lot of people will say they don't have the time. But listen, if it has to do with you and yourself, you never have the time. But if it has to do with you doing something for somebody else, people always make the time. So what Duchess is saying right now, you need to make the time for yourself. and help yourself, because you are the one who is just destroying yourself. So I see that you made it.
And you can't evolve. You can't evolve. Jules, you can't evolve. You can't go further in your life, whether it's your spiritual growth, your mental growth, your physical growth, you know, your social growth. You know, a lot of people hide behind social stuff too. You know, they're so full, they don't have time for their recovery, but they got time to hang out with their friends and boogie and dance and run the streets. They hide behind. That's the ego. The ego will snatch you up, honey. You know? So it's time for us to get our spiritual house in order. And the first stop for our spiritual house getting in order is forgiveness. Is forgiveness. The soul does not hold grudges. It's the ego that holds the grudge. And it's time for us to stop allowing people, places, and things to rent space in our head. Rent free.
And I gotta wait a minute. I have to disagree with you on one thing, because I'm not talking, when she said to boogie, people have time to boogie, a lot of times when you are in depression, a lot of times you wallow in self-guilt and you don't go out and, you know, everybody, it's everyone's fault but yours and stuff like that. But you need to work on your house. You need to work on your chakras. But if it allows you to get out and dance and have fun, and we're not talking about the fun where it destroys you. We're talking about going out and smelling the flowers and going out and taking your child or yourself to, let's say, a Zumba class or something, and, you know, you're out there and you're dancing and stuff like that. That's the type of fun Duchess is trying to say. If you don't have time, you always have time for yourself, because even on an airplane, if you're going to save somebody, you got to save yourself first. Then go ahead and save the next person. So, yes, go out there and dance, but don't destroy yourself in all of that alcohol and drugs and, you know, overeating and stuff like that. But if you want to dance, dance. You know, put on that music and clean your house. Scrub the floors and turn on that stereo. And that's where Duchess says, go ahead and dance. Go ahead, Duchess. Sorry, I had to get up in there for a minute.
I noticed how you got on up in there.
Yes.
So for clarification, what I meant was, we can go out there and hang out in the street, even in a positive way, as a way to escape the fact that we have pain that we have to get rid of. We have to forgive. And just because we go out and dance and have a good time, when we come back home, if we have not forgiven and released and let go, it's right there waiting for us.
Right.
So we've got to do that. And we can't use these other deterrents to distract us from what we need to do for our own spiritual growth. And that's when the professionals, the support groups, the recovery, that's when those things play a part, because you're taking care of letting go and the forgiving, and you're having fun doing it. You're learning. So, and our emotions. Our emotions can be incredibly painful, but there's no way to heal except to go through it and feel the emotion. You are the only one who has the power to let the past go and to move on with your life. Only you have the power to take control of your life. It is incredibly empowering when you get to the stage when the past does not control your future anymore. You know, a lot of us say, well, the past doesn't control my future. Yeah, it is if you keep going back and thinking about that old stuff. Yeah, because right. you're probably not moving along as fast as you probably could because you're not blessing your future with a clean slate, a clean energy. It's not. Only you have that power. You know,
okay.
it is incredibly mm-hmm. empowering when you get to the stage when the past does not control your future anymore. Once you are relieved of your burden of anger, freeing you from your previous self-destructive behavior, you may find that you are able to help others who are going through the same exact thing that you did. You have gotten your life back. You are liberated from the past, and you are finally, truly free. You have movement beyond suffering. It's one of the greatest lessons we can learn during our lifetime. I was reading something by Michael Beckwith. His name is Michael Beckwith. And he started the Agape Church in California. He also is the brother with the dreadlocks that spoke on The Secret. And I love him. I love the way he expresses things. He says that people often say that Jesus taught you should turn the cheek. You should turn your cheek if someone smites you. Okay? You should turn the other cheek if they wrong you. And so he said, many people interpret this to say that if someone hits you, you should turn the other cheek and let them hit you again. Michael Beckwith says he doesn't think Jesus meant it like that. He said he thinks what Jesus meant was that you are supposed to give back a different form of energy. If you are given hate and indifference, you are to give back love, patience, and compassion. Turning the other cheek means you're giving back another energy. If someone gives you negative energy, you give back positive, affirmative energy, such as forgiveness. If someone has done something wrong or destructive to you, you give another energy back. Instead of giving as good as you get, you give back a higher form of energy. This is the giving within forgiveness. So you should disengage then from the ego's point of view. And I'm letting you know, if it's resentment, hostilities, discontent, anger, all those negative words that you can even think of, you know, that's your ego. That is not your spirit. That is not your soul. Because you can't hurt spirit. You can't hurt soul. That is not your essence. That is your ego's point of view, which is always saying that you're right. And that as you've been given negative, so you should double it back on the other person. This is sometimes where nations live, in revenge, you know. And we're moving into a higher order and a higher energy than a revenge energy. And if we're still in a revenge mode, then we know that that's our mundane mode. That is not our spiritual mode. But the practice of forgiveness is a higher state of consciousness because you're acknowledging that someone may have done something wrong, destructive, or not life-enhancing, but you are still going to give back an affirmative energy in their direction. And you don't even have to give it to them in their face. I remember when my daughter was sexually assaulted. And someone told me, I think I had like 30 days of sobriety. I got 17 years now, y'all. I had 30 days of sobriety, and someone told me that if I couldn't find a way to send to bless those people and to pray for them that I would drink again, and I did not want to drink again, and so I had to find a way. And so what I did was I eventually made myself, I mean, I had to make myself pray for these people. Come on. I made myself get down on my knees, and every time I got a visual of the person, I cringed until I got to the point where I could bypass their physical bodies and go deep where I could imagine that the soul or the spirit of this individual was, and how the ego had shrunk this spirit, this soul, into the size of maybe a raisin. This is how it's shriveled up. Their little soul. This was in my mind now. This is my own imagination, y'all. I know the soul doesn't shrivel up. But anyway, this is how I was able to pray for them, by going deep and seeing the soul the size of a raisin. And I began to ask my creator, please bless this soul, because who needs more prayer than the soul that is riddled with an ego that is taking charge and creating havoc for that person? And that's how I was able to pray, and that's how I'm able to pray even now, by going deep and finding that which I feel needs prayer. And that's how I can forgive most times. Being wrong is nothing unless you continue to remember it. I remember Oprah once said, forgiveness is giving up the hope that the past could have been any different. So, there we are, and that's our little video on forgiveness, and welcome to any calls. Our number is 347-324-3030, and give us a call and let us know how you feel about our little chat on forgiveness, because it's what's inside that matters, and that's how we bounce over here, and pulling out the stuff that needs to be pulled out and talked about. So, oh, that was great having Sony on.
Yes.
We have a book review.
I want to say one thing that you have to, it's going to take some time. You can't just, you know, do it overnight. And if you're not true to self, you will know, because it will still filter in your side, inside, you know, because I have tried, and I have tried to trick myself and say, oh, yeah, I can forgive those people. But it's still filtering inside. And so you've got to meditate. You've got to pray about it. You've got to. I'm thinking about skipping therapy, but I know within myself I need therapy, because I need to talk to somebody about it. And a lot of people, your friends, your family, they really, they want to give you compassion, but they don't have the ability to give you what you need. And that's what therapists go to school for, to give you what you need. And so, yes, you got to be true to self. I have a little baby here that wants to get down and play. So I'm going to have to let you go, Duchess. But anywho, I want to tell the people out there that I found my totem animal. So I will talk to you guys about that some other time. But Duchess, she's going to start making noise. So I got to let you go. She's got spaghetti all over the place.
Okay.
So if you don't need me anymore, just let me know.
If
you want me
I
to
don't,
just put you on mute?
Sure, you want to listen? You on mute?
Yep.
Yeah, mute your mic and just listen in.
Okay, if you need me, just holler, okay?
Well, you know what? Yeah, what I'll do is I'll shut off your mic, and you can just listen in. You know how to turn your mic back on, so you don't have to.
Yep.
It's up to you.
Okay, I'll mute my mic and put you on speakerphone, and I'll listen in, okay?
Okay. I'm just going to do the book review. everyone.
Okay.
And our book review is on Deepak Chopra's book, The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. And I love talking about forgiveness and talking about releasing, and I hope it was a benefit to those of you who were able to listen. But now we're going to do this, we're going to do the book review. He's one of my favorite persons, Deepak Chopra. And I like his seven spiritual laws of success, and I'm going to give them in condensed form. And one of the things that he did at a workshop that I attended was he put them, he assigned a day of the week. Each day of the week was assigned one of the spiritual laws, so it made it very easy for you to remember all day long on Sunday. That would be the day devoted to the law of pure potentiality. And on the day of pure potentiality, which is Sunday, you take time to be silent, to just be. Meditate for 30 minutes twice a day. Silently witness the intelligence within every living thing, and practice non-judgment. And so when Sunday comes and you're practicing the law of pure potentiality, you're going to just be. You're going to go outside and take a walk in nature, and you're going to practice non-judgment. And, you know, how many times during the day that we do judge and don't even know that we are doing it, because it's so a part of our nature that we unconsciously do it. On Monday, we see the law of giving. Today, bring whoever you encounter a gift, a compliment, or flower. Gratefully receive gifts. Keep wealth circulating by giving and receiving affection, appreciation, and love. So you assign the law of giving to Monday, and you walk in that energy all of Monday, and after a while, you do it enough Mondays, you'll begin to walk in that energy every day. And I believe that is the purpose of holding firm to day of the week and assigning one of the spiritual laws to it, because after a while, all the laws become a part of your energy, your spiritual walk. Now we have Tuesday. Tuesday is the law of karma. Tuesday, we recognize that every action generates a force or energy that returns to us in like kind. Choosing actions that bring happiness and success to others ensures the flow of happiness and success to you. So when it says every action generates a force of energy that returns to us in like kind, we must also realize that thoughts are things. And so the action or the energy of our thoughts that go forth from our mental mindset will be returned to us in like kind. So be careful what you think about other people. Be careful how you feel about other people, because that thought can be generated into feelings. And this is all energy that can bounce off of them. What the little children say, sticks and stones may hurt my, break my bones, or you know, you can call me names all you want to, it just bounces off of me and back to you. Well, there's some truth to that. You know, I'm like rubber and you're like glue. What you say about me bounces off of me and sticks to you. Yeah, that's the law of karma. In a little child, out of a little child's mouth. Wednesday, the law of least effort. Now, under the law of least effort, we accept people, situations, and events as they occur. We take responsibility for our situation and for all events seen as problems. Relinquish the need to defend your point of view. How often do we stand and have to defend our point of view? Why can't we just realize, you know, that this person is right, is just as right as I am from their perspective of seeing what we're looking at? It reminds me of the blind men. Some people talk about six blind men standing there. They've never seen an elephant before, so they wanted to know what an elephant was like. Or some people say three blind men. And so each one is at a different part of the elephant's body, and the other one says, oh, this is a tree. This is like a tree. Oh, the elephant is, you know, another one is at the trunk, and they say, oh, you know, the trunk, this is like a hose, and it's swinging, you know. So everyone is right. Each one of them was right from their perspective. That's exactly what the elephant was like. So even when you're in a – I went to a crime class. I sat there and took a law class, criminal justice, and it was really amazing because I was sitting in the front of the classroom, and all of a sudden someone busted into the back door, and you heard Holden Overson talking to the teacher up in the front of the room. Now, when I saw the gun in the person's hand, I immediately got up underneath the desk because I have to be pregnant at the time, and I wasn't going to be in the line of fire. But it was all a staged event. So the teacher could see what each one of us in the class witnessed as a result of him getting, you know, make-believe shot in the front of the room. I mean, it was just amazing how everyone saw something different, but everyone was right, but everyone saw it from their perspective. So when we talk about the law of least effort, accept people's situations and events as they occur, take responsibility for your situation and for all events seen as problems, relinquish the need to defend your point of view, because that other person's point of view is just as correct as yours is from their perspective. Thursday, the law of intention and desire. The law of intention and desire. Inherent in every intention and desire is the mechanics for its fulfillment. Make a list of desires. Trust that when things don't seem to go your way, there is a reason. And I want you to know, if you want good things to come to you, then like we said about forgiveness and letting go, then it's going to come to you a lot faster if you have a clean pathway for it to get to you. That's the law of intention and desire. Friday, the law of detachment. Allow yourself and others the freedom to be who they are. Do not force solutions. Allow solutions to spontaneously emerge. Uncertainty is essential in your path to freedom. Now, I like this law of detachment. It's really phenomenal. And it's really cool when it comes to manifesting things in your life. The law of detachment. I remember 6 years ago, I wanted a Subaru Outback, and I put a picture of a Subaru Outback on my door. And every time I walked by, I saw the Subaru, I would sing about it. But, you know, I either got it or I didn't get it. But it was like, you know, I wanted a Subaru Outback. But it wasn't like I had to have it. I totally detached myself from the experience of having it or not having it. I just knew that I wanted a Subaru Outback. I used to sing this song all the time. We had my granddaughter in the car with me. Subaru Outback. And she would say, Grandma, Where's Subaru Outback? And I say, I don't know, honey, but Grandma's going to get one. Well, to make a long story short, I have a Subaru Outback sitting out there in the parking lot. And when we detach, the law of detachment, when we detach, it's like we plant a seed of what we desire into the ground. And when you plant a seed, you don't keep going back and digging up the seed to see what's going on down there. What you do is you just cover over the dirt, the soil, and you water it every so often. You don't know when it's going to come or what's going to come, but you don't keep disturbing it and looking at it and saying, well, you know, when am I going to get this? Well, when is it going to come? Well, how is it going to come? Well, I don't have any money for it to come. You don't do that. You detach. And that's Friday, the law of detachment. Allow yourself and others the freedom to be who they are. Do not force solutions. Allow situations and solutions to spontaneously emerge. Uncertainty is essential in your path to freedom. And last but not least is Saturday, the law of Dharma. Seek your higher self. Discover your unique talents. Ask yourself how you are best suited to serve humanity. Using your unique talents and serving others brings unlimited bliss and abundance. And all of these spiritual laws are most successful when you drop them into the law of the field of pure potentiality. And we will go back to Sunday. 30 minutes twice a day. You meditate. That's where you bury your seeds, in meditation. And when you come out of your meditation, that's where the seeds will germinate. They're there, and they'll be taken care of by spirit. So with that, we talked about the 7 spiritual laws of success. And the book is written by Deepak Chopra, and it's one of my favorite books because it's a very short book of spiritual growth. Okay, Jules always asks me to do a medicine card. But before I pull the medicine card, I want to remind everyone that you'll hear from us on the 3rd Sunday. That will be our next gathering of Inside Matters. And we'll have a lot to talk about, but we plan on devoting the 15th of September to the ancestors, our spiritual guides, and get your altars ready, call on your ancestors, because we're getting ready to have a party of ancestral spirit up in here and up in wherever you are, because the ancestors love us. They are the reason for our existence today, and they enjoy being honored. And for those of you who feel that spiritual or ancestral honoring or honoring of the dead is something that you can't do, I must remind some of us that we do it when we honor Labor Day, Veterans Day. We do it Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We honor those who have gone before us and those who have made the transition. We honor them a lot. So it's a beneficial thing for us to honor our own ancestors. And that will be on the 15th of September. Now, let's pull the card. All right, everyone, I got your card. I have your card. And your card for this week's energy is wolf. And wolf is the teacher. You have drawn wolf's card. You may be able to share your personal medicine with others. Your intuitive side may also have an answer or teaching for your personal use at this time. As you feel wolf coming alive within you, you may wish to share your knowledge by writing or lecturing on information that will help others better understand their uniqueness or their path. It is in the sharing of great truths that the consciousness of humanity will attain new heights. Wolf could also be telling you to seek out lonely places that will allow you to see your teacher within. In the aloneness of a power place, devoid of other humans, you may find the true you. Look for teachings no matter where you are. Wolf would not come to you unless you requested the appearance of the tribe's greatest teacher. Okay, so with that, we come to a close of another Inside Matters talk. We have no more callers on the line that desire to pop in and talk to us. I think Jules wants to pop in and talk to us. Okay, Jules.
Sorry about that. Jules, I see a call.
We have a call.
Can I get it?
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
Okay, 303, here we come, and tell us your name and where you're from. I rhyme, Duchess. I rhyme. Go ahead, caller.
Hi there. My name is Allison, calling from Arizona.
Hi,
Allison.
How are you?
I'm sorry?
Go ahead. We're waiting to hear from you.
Are you pulling little cards today, or because this is a really favorite subject of mine, forgiveness?
Sure, we can pull a card for you today.
Yeah, that'd be nice because I work on this topic a lot, and I'd be really curious to hear.
Okay, I'm gonna mute me.
So
you and Duchess can go ahead and pull cards, and I don't want the baby to interrupt. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, Allison, tell me what do you do? I mean, you don't have to. Why don't you tell me what you do after we see what your card is? Julia?
Tell me. Yes, I am.
Okay.
What do you mean?
All right.
What do you mean?
I want you to say your name three times for me, Allison.
Oh, Allison? Allison? Allison.
Okay, and I want you to focus on what you want the card to say to you. Oh, Allison, very interesting. You have coyote.
Oh, interesting. Hmm.
All right. You're calling from Arizona?
That's right.
And coyote is the trickster.
Yep.
Coyote is sacred. In the folly of his acts, we see our own foolishness. As Coyote moves from one disaster to the next, he refines the art of self-sabotage to sheer perfection. No one can blindly do themselves or others in with more grace and ease than this holy trickster. Coyote takes himself so seriously at times that he cannot see the obvious. For example, the steamroller that is about to run over him. That is why, when it hits him, he still cannot believe it. Was that really a steamroller? I better go look, he says, and he is run over one more time. So, go immediately beneath the surface of your experiences. Ask yourself what you are really doing and why. Is your coyote medicine? Are you playing jokes on yourself? Are you trying to fool an adversary? Is someone tricking you? Do you want to give the office geek the phone number of the beautiful new secretary? On the other hand, you may not be conscious of your own pathway of foolishness. You may have conned yourself, your family, your friends, or even the public at large into believing that you know what you are doing. But listen, Coyote, you are balled up in your own machinations. You have created a befuddling, bewildering, confounding trick. pick up the juggler eyes from the ground and put them back in your sockets. See through the genius of your acts of self-sabotage. Find it amusing and laugh, trickster, laugh. If you can't laugh at yourself, if you can't laugh at yourself and your crazy antics, you have lost the game. Coyote always comes calling when things get too serious. The medicine is in laughter and joking so that new viewpoints may be assumed. If you have coyote medicine, you may use it to make stuffy old fogies lighten up or add cheer to a party or to break a deaf grip conversation with ease. Look at the positive side of sabotage. Look at the positive side of sabotaging nosy questions about your personal life. Have fun telling some gossiper that you just returned from Saint-Tropez in your new Learjet. How are you feeling about coyote?
You know, that's funny because coyote, I think, is one of my frequent totems. So I can really relate to coyote totem in medicine, and it's not the first time this animal has come up. So I really appreciate hearing that. The great description.
Well, you sound like a fun person, and you sound like that, you know, when you are, you know, getting yourself all tangled up and befuddled, that, you know, you recognize it, and you can laugh about it. And
sometimes.
How do we say
this?
Right. Well, the show is all about forgiveness, you know?
Right.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Coyote
yeah.
teaches us that we need to forgive. And go on.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do?
What do you mean?
As what do you do in Colorado? You know, what?
Oh, I'm in Arizona.
Said,
I'm in Arizona.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I live in Arizona. I used to live in Colorado. Yeah.
I'm sorry, you did say Arizona.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought maybe you had a craft or a gift that you did. Because you said you like the animals. So I thought maybe, you know, you did your own thing with animals.
No, I do love animals, but I don't do anything that brings money concerning animals, if that's what you mean.
No, okay. Well, I hope we were able to give you a little bit of animal energy over the line.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll come in again.
Yeah, thank
you
very much. I love the animals. Thank you so much. Really enjoyed that.
You stay blessed. You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, that was Arizona.
Yes.
Shame on you talking about Colorado. I sure know how to mess up my state. That's why you don't need to go on mute when I'm talking to area folks. I get all mixed up.
You probably was thinking of your granddaughter. She's going back to Colorado soon, but
right.
It's okay. It's okay.
Right. So there you go. I had the lady in Colorado, and she's from Arizona.
She might be taking a major trip sometime. You never know. She might be taking a major trip.
Hopefully she'll come back and tell us about it, if that's the case. All right, so we're going to end the show. Jules, you have anything you want to say before we go off the air?
No, I don't. We're having a major thunderstorm here, so we might be losing power. So I'm going to get off the line anyway because the lightning is really powerful.
I understand. Okay, everyone, that's it for Duchess and Jules. You've been listening to Inside Matters Talk. We hope that we imparted some wisdom on you today, and please listen in on the 15th and bring your ancestors with you when you come.
Duchess, if they want, they need to watch Mulan, because I saw Mulan today and they were all about the ancestors. So give some insight.
Right.
Yes, yes. Insight on ancestors.
I love that. I love Mulan.
Yes,
I do.
Her
I love
ancestors
Mulan.
Helped her a lot. So talk to you on the 15th, Duchess. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I'm thinking of Mulan now. Was Eddie Murphy in that one?
Yes, he was the dragon.
Yes, he was trying to get his fire or something. Yeah, that's a good movie. I'm going to try and find
yes.
it.
Okay.
Okay, everyone be blessed, and we'll talk to you soon. Ancestors on September 15th. Bring them with you because we'll have ours here. Okay?
Yes, all
stay
the time.
Blessed, everyone. Thank you.